such a blessing to be here this morning. Amen. It really is. Good being God's house with God's people. And this morning we want to continue talking about the kind of church members we need to be so that we can be great church members and have a great church. You know, when I'm talking about great churches, I'm not talking about great in terms of the size of a building or the number of buildings that make up the church. I'm not even talking about the number of people or members who gather from week to week that make up the church. When I say church, I mean a church that is that are people, people of God, children of God, Christians who are meeting together and are blessed by God. And we've seen over the last few weeks that a church that is blessed by God first must be church members who are worshiping God. In other words, they see God as someone who is worthy to be worshipped, and they understand that God is seeking those who will indeed worship Him. Secondly, we've seen that great church members that make great growing churches are also growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to continue along that same idea of being great church members that make great churches by looking at another quality or characteristic or even command, really, that we need to incorporate into our lives as church members. This morning I want to talk about the church members who care greatly for others. I'm going to tell you something that may surprise you, and that is many churches across our land are not caring churches. They're not. They don't care. Their church members, beginning with their pastor, they don't really care the way that they should. And friends, this morning I'm going to tell you that our church will be no more than what you and I are as members. And if we're not caring church members, my friends, we will not have a caring church. Let me ask you, are we one of those churches like the I just mentioned? Now, answer these questions. Do you really care about the lost? Do you really care about the lost? Do you care about your family members that are not saved? Do you care about the people in your neighborhood and in every neighborhood in the city of Wilson that are lost and on their way to hell with that cross? Do you care about people whose skin color is different from yours? Or do you care about people whose ethnic background may be different than yours? Do we really care about all people? Folks, we need to care about all people because all people need to know Christ as their Savior. And the Bible certainly says that all who will believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And get this, friends, all who believe and trust in Him will be in heaven. All who believe and trust in Him will be in heaven. So let me just say, friends, a church will never be great unless it has great church members who care greatly for others. I'm going to ask you if you would take your Bibles and turn to the Epistle of Jude. Just 25 verses of that little book. It's right before you get to the book of Revelation, your very last book of the Bible. And we're going to look at verses 20 through 23 and talk about caring this morning. You would please stand in honor and reverence and respect for the Word of God. The Word of God says in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of your Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others say, with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His holy word. Heavenly Father, bless us today through Your word, through Your spirit, through Your presence with us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. This letter is written by the half-brother of Jude and of Jesus. And he's writing, he's discussing salvation. He's trying to tell us to contend for the faith. He's exhorting us, if you will, to reach out to others, to faithfully live out our lives for Christ. He's exhorting us to show mercy. We see there in verse 22. But some people will not believe until we indeed reach out to them with love and compassion. That we show them that we care about who they are. And we care so much that we're expressing our love to them and sharing God's love with them and wanting to see them come into an eternal relationship with God. Some believers will only be won by... Some people will only be won by believers who have compassion and care about people who do not know the Lord. And Jude is telling us that we need to have compassion, because compassion makes a difference, doesn't it? It makes a huge difference. It makes a difference in whether or not someone will hear us. To hear that as we go to them and tell them that God loves them and desires to have an eternal relationship with them. It makes a huge difference also in the church. And so we need to define what compassion is. And there's no better place to understand and to see the picture of compassion than to turn to the pages of the Bible and to see compassion painted out before us, the pictures of that of compassion painted for us in Scripture. If you're looking at in Luke chapter 10, there's that passage of Scripture, there's that story that Jesus tells about a man who's going down from Jericho, and he's traveling on the road, and he's attacked by thieves, and he's beaten and robbed and left for dead on the roadside. And in this terrible condition, two men passing by, one is a priest, a religious man. He sees him and he walks around him and he continues going. The other is a Levite. And he too sees this man and he follows the example of the religious man. He just kind of scoots over and goes right on by. But then there comes this Samaritan. The Samaritan who really and truly would be maybe on some occasions despised by this Jewish man who has fallen prey to these thieves. But this Samaritan saw him, and the Bible says that he had compassion. In another story, Jesus tells about a son who leaves home. And he goes off to a far and distant land. He goes to the big city and the bright lights. And he wastes all that he has. And he comes to himself. And then returns broken and broke to his home. And Jesus tells of that father who saw his son coming and he had compassion on his son. And of course there's that great picture of Jesus himself, when he saw the multitudes, and he too was moved with compassion as he saw their condition, they looked as if they were sheep scattered about, having no shepherds. His compassion is first about what begins to take place in us. We see that in each one of those examples. We see the heart being tugged at. We see the soul being stirred. We see all these things. We see someone who's in need, and we are stirred up and we care about them. We care about their suffering. We care about their needs. We care about their lostness. And then, my friends, caring and compassion goes a step further. Not only is that inward, the working in our lives that causes us to have compassion, but then that caring and compassion moves us to respond to it, to do something to help. The Samaritan tended to the man who had been attacked. He bandaged him up. He took him to a place where he could rest and recover. The father saw his son. He ran out and fell upon his neck and kissed him and brought him in and put sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger and a robe on his back. And they had a party. He welcomed his son home. And then Jesus, as he was going into Jericho, into Jerusalem, he saw the people, he saw the lostness, and he wept with compassion. And he told those who followed him to reach out to them, to reach out to those who need a Savior. Caring about others means that you have compassion. It means that you've been so deeply moved by the need of another that you cannot ignore it. And you cannot walk away from it. Real compassion leads us to respond, to reach out, and to make a difference. Do we care? And do we show it? Those who only think of themselves, my friends, are dead to others. Really? There's no care, there's no concern, there's no compassion. We may say that we care for others, but as the old saying goes, proof is in the pudding. If you say it, do you show it? The proof is seen in what we do. What did Jesus do? When he saw the spiritual darkness in which the people were living, there in that passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 19, it says, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it." Friends, let me tell you, there wasn't just a welling up of a tear in his eye. There wasn't just a trickle of a tear coming down his cheek. The Bible says that he wept as a grieving person would grieve over the loss of someone, to see the lostness of someone and just shake and weep violently as he saw, as his heart was hurt and tugged upon by the lostness of the people in that city. He wept for them. He wept. Oh, I like what Washington Irving said. Tears speak more eloquently than 10,000 tongues. Tears speak more eloquently than 10,000 tongues. You can say a lot, but the tears say a lot more, don't they? It was said of D.L. Moody, R.W. Dale once said about Moody. He said, "The only man I can listen to preaching on hell is D.L. Moody because I have never heard him talk of it, without breaking down and weeping." Hey folks, when we think about the people who are lost and going to hell, do we weep? Do we care? Are we moved enough that we weep over them? And does that caring, does that compassion, does that heartfelt desire cause us to take action? To work to bring someone into relationship with Jesus? You know, I think people really do know when we really do care. I mean, you can't fool a child in a nursery. You can't fool a child when they're small. They know if you care. And it's the same way with those in the world who do not know Christ. They know if you really care. It's by your actions that can see it. They'll care when we show that we care. Some want to live within the sound of the church or the chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within the yard of hell. C.T. Studd. May God give us that kind of heart, friends. A heart that is filled with such great compassion and concern for the lost. that we get out of our comfort zone and reach out in the name of Jesus Christ to those in need. When we reach out, when we come alongside of someone who doesn't know Christ, when we get involved in their lives, when we come alongside of them, when we show them that we love them, when our hearts are filled with compassion, our eyes are wet from tears, my friends, they see the compassion. And that compassion can open up a cold, cold heart and can make a difference. So how can we develop compassion? Well, Jesus looked at the people living in darkness and he wept. The Samaritan looked at the man who needed help and responded. The father looked and saw his son afar off and welcomed him home. How do we develop compassion for others? We look. We open our eyes, friends, to the world around us. That world and time and place that God has carefully selected us and put us in this time. That we're to look around the world in which you and I are in. And with eyes that are filled with compassion, the eyes of Christ, the eyes of Jesus, we're to look upon other people and to recognize the needs, the spiritual needs that they have. To get to know them. How do you get to know somebody? By spending time with them. You see, when you spend time with someone, you begin to understand them. And you begin to love them. And then you really truly begin to care for them, don't you? Are we looking? Are we spending time with others? Or are we passing by opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to show God's love to someone who needs it? Sometimes all it takes for our hearts to be gripped with compassion for someone is just to spend time with them. There's lots of ways of doing that. But we have to look for the opportunities to see the needs and take the step to meet that need. That's what makes a great church member. That's what makes a great church. When we are seeing the needs of others, caring, compassionate, reaching out, when we're growing, when we're worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning, do you care about others? Do you really care? Or has your heart begun to grow cold and indifferent that the world and society and the culture in which we live today has just beaten you down, just said, you know, just try to get on through. Friends, I just want to tell you, if your heart's grown cold toward others, ask God to forgive you this morning. You see, because God tells us that we're to love one another. Do you love others? Is your heart broken for those who are lost? Have you wept for the lost? Have you worked in any way to see that they hear the gospel? You know, God has told us, hasn't he? To go into all the world, to go to all the people, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, if we're not being obedient to God in those areas, we need to come this morning and ask God to forgive us. We need to repent of that type of attitude, that kind of heart. We need to turn away from it. We need to ask God to forgive us, and we need to come to Him. Will you ask God's forgiveness? And will you come to Him this morning and ask Him to fill your heart with compassion for others? Will you come to God this morning and tell Him that you do care, but you need His help? You need Him to help you, to show others how much you care and how much you care for them. We need help showing His amazing love and amazing grace I see you so graciously and lovingly showing it to us. How many are here today who will say that I care, but I need God to help me in showing others? Friends, I'm asking you to make a commitment this morning to caring about others. As we sing our song of invitation this morning, I'm asking you to come to make a commitment to God. First of all, to make a commitment of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to commit your life, a life of a growing Christian, of a worshiping Christian, as someone who is caring about others, who is compassionate about others. I'm asking you to make a commitment this morning to the Lord Jesus Christ and to others. Will you come this morning and will you show that you care about others the way that God cares about you? Do you really care this morning? Will you come to God and just tell Him that you care, but perhaps you just need some help in showing others? Will you come this morning and ask Him to save you? For Him to come into your heart, to come into your life? Will you come this morning repenting of the cold heart, the indifference to others, and just showing that you care? Will you come this morning as we stand and sing our song of invitation, Footsteps of Jesus, hymn number 685. Will you come this morning?